Well, we're still positioning ourselves to receive healing. We're still in on that, working at that. So praise God. There's so much that could be said really on the topic of healing. I have just purchased a book when I was down at Gatlinburg at the meetings down there. It was done by the one pastor there who, pastor, he's holds a doctorate, but it's some kind of sciences and that stuff. He worked for NASA. He was like one of the space shuttles. He said his didn't blow up. He said, but what his job was is he was over the whole thing, and he checked and inspected every part he was responsible for the entire shuttle, making sure that every part was correct, it was designed correct. He ran over that whole thing. He did. But anyhow, he put a book together, and he took went through the Bible and all the healing scriptures in the Bible, went through the whole thing. But what he did is there's loads of translations. I think there's like 430 some translations that he went through and took out the ones on each verse that, you know, came closest to what the translation was. Some of them use some little bit different words, because sometimes you look at a word, when you look up a word on a translation, you find it has a pretty vast maybe meaning, and so they can cover quite a bit of ground just in that meaning. But anyhow, he put that whole thing together. When you sit down, if you think about it, I was looking through that book, and I thought, you know, there's so much really in the Bible that's said about healing. It's really dealing with the human body, because with salvation and the deliverance of Israel, even in the Old Testament, all that had to do with healing and stuff too. We make salvation, we think just born again, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible don't just teach that, but that's the way we think. And so it's really hugely important that we get thinking right. We see the word to salvation or save, we just think on one line. Sometimes in the scripture, when it's talking about that, isn't talking about being born again at all. It's about a person being delivered or set free from something. And so, but we think along a certain line, and you think you're taught in a certain way, and really we don't get all the meaning of what the scripture teaches. So there's just so much you could teach on healing. It's absolutely phenomenal in the scriptures. Now last week we were looking in the areas we had dealing with foundational teachings, looking at God giving healing power to the sick. That's what he does. He gives healing power. He's not giving manifestations. People, that's what they're looking for. That's just a way of people think. When they think healing, they think, well, what's God going to do in his giving? I'm going to get a healing manifestation. That's what I'm going to get. Is one of the things is getting along that thought. If you were prayed for and God gave healing manifestations, you would never have to believe you receive anything. You would never have to use faith. God is always moving people. He'll always move you to an act of faith. He'll always do that, an act of faith. That's why you'll find, people, if you watch Jesus' ministry, sometimes he didn't respond to people, you know. It's like he had the two blind guys chasing after him. Now, people think where he was being sort of mean to them. He wasn't being mean to them. He has to get them to respond, to do something by faith. See, if they want healed, they're going to have to respond in some way by faith. Unless there's a gift of healing goes into operation, but that ain't all the time that happens, you know. Jesus didn't control that. That's as the Spirit wills. And so we need to understand that God will always move you in that direction. This is where people sometimes don't like it. I know sometimes, like over the years, I've had people already who come forward to sometime for healing, and the Lord told me to tell them to do something. Most of the time, people won't. Most of the time, people won't. They don't want to do it. People are embarrassed to do something in front of somebody. See, people come, but they're more self-conscious than God-conscious. And that keeps people from receiving from God. You know, I've had people have told one woman, you know, and the Lord told me she had back problems, and the Lord told me, tell her to bend over. I told her to bend over. She said, I don't want to do that. I said, well, go sit down. So, you know, no point in being here then. I don't know what you're going to do, because I can't go no further than that. That's it. It stops there. See, people think some of you are being mean. But they don't realize, instead of pointing the finger at the person, they're being stupid. But that's all right. You can be stupid. You're nice. You're stupid. But a person tells them. And you have a lot of problems with that. Smith Wigglesworth, who had quite a healing ministry, people sometimes would really get mad at him because he was really blunt. He did something one time. A guy came up and he laid hands on him for healing, and The guy came up the next night and he said, "What are you here? What are you back here for again?" He said, "Well, I didn't get healed last night." He said, "You liar! Jesus healed him," and he kicked the guy in the rear end, told him to get off the stage. Oh, you do that here in America today, and oh my words, all the wimping and whining of all the Christians, you know. They the Christians will hate you the most. That's why they will. That's the truth. They will. They'll hate you the most. The sinners will say, "Let me kick it." And see, people don't realize they did. When you do that, see, when you turn on, you don't know the move of the Spirit. You don't understand how it is. You shut faith right off. Faith stops, and everything stops right there too. It's like with Smith's Wills, where they said people would get in the audience, would get upset, and they'd stop the healing move. They'd stop it. See, they think he's doing something wrong. They don't realize they're the ones that were in error. They were. Praise God. Hallelujah. I just learned, you know, there's one thing you don't do is get offended. Do you know what most people get offended at? Is you follow Jesus' ministry. It's the truth. That will offend more people than anything. There's one thing, if the truth is derogatory to what a person thinks of themselves, they'll get offended. It could be true about them. You can say it, it's true about them, but boy, you don't talk about me. And they'll get offended. They'll get offended. Truth is the major thing that people get offended at. And that there's one thing is that I've always with people, if you're going to, I decided a long time ago, I had learned from the time I was a young Christian, you're going to get close and walk close to God. You can't get offended because God will tell you the truth. See, people don't like that. People don't like it. Go to truth because you find out you can't get close to God without seeing your imperfections. The glory of God is like a mirror. Remember the Bible talks about that in 2 Corinthians, I think it's 3:18, about looking in the mirror from glory to glory. That's why people don't go from glory to glory. Nobody wants to look in the mirror because when they do, I'm not as cute as I thought. You know, I look in the morning mirror, you know, that guy on the other side, I don't know who that is. I don't know who that guy is, man. Must be somebody else over there on that side. But it is. You can see your flaws. But you know, God doesn't do that in any way to shame you. I mean, it's not done from that standpoint. But there's one thing about it. Whatever flaw you don't see about you, you will never correct. You'll never correct it. It'll just stay the same. That's why, see, lots of people get to a spiritual level and never change. They'll go the whole life at just one spiritual level. They'll never change. They can't ever go beyond. And so we make up different kinds of doctrines of like, well, you know, the reason this person over here is because they're called to this or this guy's to that and I'm not. So, you know, this is why I stay in this babyhood Christian stage I'm in, you know. Because I'm not called to that. And they don't realize that has nothing to do with nothing. Nobody's call has anything to do with how far you can go spiritually. Any person can go as far as they want to. And your personal spiritual growth is one thing, as I learned a long time ago. You know, you can't get offended because God will tell you the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. Hallelujah. Praise God. I just thank God for 1 John 1:9. I do. I mean, I thank God. I can look and see my imperfection. Boy, God, just forgive me for being so dumb. Thank you, Lord God. You love me. You care for me. He told me because he wants to take me someplace. There's never you'll find yourself in a position. God leads you to a place to change that don't take you to a greater place of blessing. Always does. So if you want to stay on a low level of blessing, just stay over in the area. Don't look in the mirror. You'll be running around looking at everybody else's mirrors, telling them how ugly they are. But I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm pretty, you know. Hallelujah. But anyhow, we're looking at these things in scriptures. God giving people healing power. We had closed last week from Luke 6:17 and through 19 we had read where Jesus was ministering people. In verse 19 of that it said, "And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all." The power went out. So is what we're looking for is power, is healing power. And you know, when people think about power lots of times too, is one of the things this may help you some. Many times in dealing, the same power sometimes that will heal, or the same power that deals with somebody for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that same power will heal you, or it'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. That same power will do the same things. And if people realize that, you know, it's the same power sometimes as ministry, dealing with power of God. There's special anointings on certain things, but there's just numbers of things that is really the same power. One of the things that had said in those scriptures concerning the people, it said they came out to hear and be healed. So see, and this is one of the things we're doing in the teaching here. He said they came out to hear and be healed. And that's really an important thing. Most people want healed without taking the time to listen. And you got to get people to stop and say, hey, you got to listen. You got to take the time to listen. Hear and be. They went out to hear and be healed. So we want to follow in line with that. In Luke, the fifth chapter, I want to read to you in verse 17. And this is where Jesus was in the house, and they said there was Pharisees and all of them were there, and there was a bunch of other people. The house was filled around, and the guys came who had, you know, the four guys that had the guy who on a stretcher, they took him up on the roof and dropped him down. But it says in the introduction to that, it says in verse 17, now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea and Jerusalem. It says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. I want you to think about this, and this is one, you got to change, you get the consciousness and thinking in your mind. The power of God was present to heal, yet only one person got healed out of all those people were here, yet it was there to heal anybody who wanted to heal. Now, just it said for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, it was present to heal them. It wouldn't have, if nobody was sick around, who would care if the power was present? But if the power is present, you need to get that in consciousness of people. Most people are think you're praying, trying to get the power to come. That's the thought. Most people, the problems that we have is the way that we think. Wrong thinking leads to wrong doing. I mean, it just follows. The main thing is I heard, you know, years ago, Kenneth Hagin had said this, and I took it to heart. He said the number one thing needed in the church world is a renewed mind. That's the number one thing. And this is the Christian needs a renewed mind. Most people's minds don't get renewed. They have a way that they think about things and they just follow suit because there's a lot of stuff over the years that have been taught certain ways. And I found that people, even sinners, come in and get born again, come in the kingdom. They have all kind of religious ideas. Never been in a church in their life, but filled with religious ideas about things. And if you don't change those things, and it takes time getting those things out of yourself, is the fact, we, like today, the Holy Spirit's is in the earth. He's here. He's not going to come. We don't have to ask the Holy Spirit to be there. The Holy Spirit's here. Getting filled with the Holy Spirit. We're not trying to ask God to give me the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given over 2,000 years ago. So I'm not trying to get God to give me the Holy Spirit. It's already been given. The Holy Spirit's been given. He's here. The power of God to heal is here. We're not trying to get God to give it. And so when people start thinking and they get on that thinking line, you know, it's just like Jesus. Jesus is walking through a crowd, a woman with the issue of blood. She comes along. The power of God was present there. She just connected to it. Yet everybody else is walking around. They want it, but they're not connected to it. And you know why? The way they're thinking. She's the only one thinking right. Even the disciples weren't thinking right. Their minds weren't renewed. So you got to get your mind renewed to God's thinking. That's a huge thing, is spend the time to do that. And that's why we teach people. You know, because I'll guarantee you, if you start talking to people many times who want healing, they're way off base of what they want, their ideas of what they think of how you do to get it. And I've been told over the years by many people, well, I believe it's like this, or I believe it's like this. I say, what does the Bible say? They can't tell you at all what the Bible says about nothing, but they have beliefs. They have beliefs, and they talk about those beliefs. But you know what God calls their beliefs? Unbelief. If it isn't in line with God's belief, it is unbelief. That's what it is. It's unbelief. So it's just simple. Get in line with God's belief and it'll work. And so that's what we do. We just keep giving the word out to people so people can come in line with the truth and they can be healed. So the power of God was present to heal. So there wasn't healing manifestations weren't present, but the power was. Because the power is needed to bring the manifestation that you desire. That's in the power. That's what's in that power that's in you. And so you got to believe you receive that power. So healing power was present to heal the sick. Now, one of the things we want to look at that is what we should do. After we've been prayed for, what should we do? Should we look at our bodies to see if God gave it, gave us our manifestation? And, you know, many times, I'm sorry, but I think ministers do wrong. Even like have ministers in church. Many times we get ministers and they're trying to get the person to find out if something changed right away. That's what they're trying to do. They're getting the person to start to look at their bodies. The average person, I've learned this over the years in ministry to people. You know, the Lord spoke to me personally one time. He said, if people will listen to what you tell them to do and do it, He said, they'll get healed every time. Now, the reason He said that is because I've learned how to get healed. It works. It works. And He said, you tell people. It's one of the things is my body, we need to act in, let's put it like that, we need to act in faith. Faith is not based on sight. If you can see it and you can feel it, you have no need of faith. It's there. You know, my words. I mean, like John sitting here, I don't need to have 1 ounce of faith that John's sitting there. I mean, I can see John right there. Right there John is. So I don't have to have faith. And so acting upon the thing, God wants us to act like we have something that physically you can't see nor can you feel. He wants us to act as if that's true, that He gave you something. Now, people say, I've heard people over the years have said to me, well, you know, I don't believe something I can't see. Well, so you can't believe in Jesus, then you're not a Christian. You couldn't be a Christian unless then you had seen Jesus. Well, then you wouldn't have seen Him by faith anyhow, so you wouldn't have had faith to believe. You know, it's absolutely really, really weird people's ideas about things. We believe on something. You know, I got born again just by believing what the Word said about Jesus. I got born again doing that. Revolutionized, changed my life. I got ended up with a manifestation. But first I had to believe on what I could not see. That's what I had to believe. And it's the same way all the time. God wants you to believe you have something. You know, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. See, I've learned this out. I never taught people, say, oh, I just have a hard time understanding. The things of the Scripture. You would never hear me ever say anything like that. Because to speak that way, you're speaking directly against the Bible. You're speaking directly against what God said. You're not going to do well doing that. You can't do it. It says you have the mind of Christ. So I'm not trying to get the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Well, the mind of Christ in you is the Holy Spirit. He's the mind of God and He lives in you and you have it. This is what's wonderful. You don't have to be a genius or smart. What you need to learn to do is listen to the Holy Spirit, be led by the Spirit of God. See, we have in our nation a big problem. It's called education. Because people think they're smart and you know what? They have a hard time being led by the Spirit. A terrible time with it. Because they're always trying to reason, figure things out, trying to think stuff. I gave that up a long time ago. I gave that up. Probably 1 year for Lent or something. I don't know. But I found out my reasoning wasn't working well for me. But you know what? God will give you reason. Understand this. It isn't. See, we rely so much on the brain and what the brain can accumulate in thought. But we need to understand this. The brain is nothing but an organ of the body. That's all it is. You don't lose your mind when you die. The brain dies. All the brain is an organ for this purpose, for your spirit to operate through and control your body in what you do. That's its purpose. It's not for you to be so smart you figure everything out. You be so intelligent. Because the intelligence of God is living in you, the wisdom of God. It, you know what? The Bible tells us it's contrary to the world. It's contrary to the world thinks about stuff. It's contrary to what the world does. But it's the wisdom of God, and that will manifest if you allow through your brain. See, if your brain is filled with all kind of another way to do something, it's going to be hard for the Holy Spirit to bring the wisdom of God up in you. That's why you want to learn to yield to what's on the inside. Let those thoughts on the inside, that's what you want to renew your mind. That's how you want your mind removed. God gives His revelation. Glory to God. I mean, I could tell this. I mean, if I sat down with a doctor and I would talk to a doctor concerning from health from the biblical side, I mean, they wouldn't agree with you at all. They just, you know. In fact, I find it very hard today as along with doctors even call themselves Christians. I mean, they're so medically stuck on the gospel. They know. And what happens is this. They spend their whole life studying the natural. and they give 10 minutes to God a week, maybe. And there's no way that they can understand. There's no way you can do that. You can't do it. You can't. Whatever you spend your most time putting yourself and your mind to is what you're going to spend. That's what's going to operate. That's what's going to dominate you. That's the way it is. So, you know, I found out, you know, like when I started off as a Christian, I started off and I was working at Reese Candy Company and doing there. But I realized all day your thoughts and stuff are on other things and working all the time. And I just had to go home. I'd spend a lot of time in the Word because you get so filled with the other stuff, you know, and after a while and people, you know, and it's like I've heard people over those last 20 years, everybody was always so busy. And I know spirituality goes down the tubes when you become real busy. Spirituality leaves. It always does. It's never different. You can't do that. You can't get so busy you don't have time for God, because you're going to fill your mind with something. You're going to fill your mind with something. And you got to decide, what is it? What's going to be important to you to fill it with? What's the most important? You know, we have enough life we have to do without adding to it all the time. You know, people, Americans, we spend all our time to have stuff. We love the stuff. We spend all of our time trying to get that. We don't start off in life. If we go back years ago, people build up, over years of times and got things. No, today we have to start off with everything and have to go into debt up to our ears. And we have to do all of these different things to have everything. We got to have all the stuff right away. You know, we have to have the nicest car right away. We got to have the nicest this right away. We got to have all this stuff. And all it does is consume our time to do it. We just get full of it, just filled with it. And we get so good at it, you know what? We don't need God. I have banks. I got all these different things that I can go and rely on and get these things done, and I can get the stuff that I want. And then we get out there and we get all we want. We get these things and problems fall apart. Then we start calling and looking for the people that we know who have followed God instead of the stuff. And we keep trying to get them to get for us what we can't get. Oh, yeah, that's exactly what happens. I know. I've had people into people tell me I'm wrong about my believing. I'm wrong. And then I get a call. They're into trouble. They don't call these people that know everything that they said, believe like they do. No, sir. Oh, I say, why are you calling me? I'm the guy that don't know nothing, remember? I'm the guy that was wrong. Why are you calling me? I've had that happen numbers of times where people called me trying to get something. Oh, you're out there. You're out there too far. Yeah. And when they start in their flesh, get out there too far, and the devil's dragging them off to the grave, then it's like, excuse me, would you help me? One of the bad parts about it is, lots of times you can't, because the time they call you, they're too far gone, and you can't help them. You can't get, their mind is so full of the direction they're going. You can't turn it around. You can't turn it around. It's a very bad place to be. That's why it's good to spend the time now. Always go after healing when you're well. Always study and go over things with healing while you're well. When you wait till sick comes, I never start, if my body's being attacked, I never start doing crash courses in healing. Never. Why? Because I've been meditating all along. I know where I stand. I know where I'm at in this thing. You don't wait till the bomb drops and then I say, oh my God. Let's try to believe God about something here. There. Now let's, hey, do you know any good scriptures? Give me one. That ain't the time to be doing it. It's like being a soldier, not, you know, following your training and stuff, and the war starts and you're looking for your gun. Where on earth did we do with that thing? Hallelujah. So you take the time. And it is much easier. It's much easier. There's nothing like being under the stress of a problem and you're trying to fight to get a hold of it. That is a stressful, that's usually a stressful time. That's really a tough time. And because you're under a lot of pressure at that time, and a lot of things are going on, and so you want to make sure that you're confident in your faith at that time. Boy, that's the time you want to know that. And I've learned it over the years. You learn it from both sides. You learn it, boy, when stuff comes, and especially because you're in a fight, and there's the fight of faith, and the Bible calls it a good fight. Most people don't like it. They don't like the good fight. They like a bad one, I guess. I don't know. What we should do when we're prayed for, what should we do? One of the things that you do if you're prayed for, and I do this whether or not somebody lays hands on me or whatever it is, I start praising God that I believe I have what I have asked for. Or would somebody laid hands on me and prayed for, I believe I have it. That's what I do. I've just done over the years, I've said before, when I first started off as a Christian, God didn't allow me to have anybody pray for me. He told me he wanted me to learn to stand by faith on my own. And I was always glad I did, but he told me later on, and years later, he said, the reason I had you do that, he said, so you could teach people how to operate by faith. Most people don't have enough experience in faith to teach people how to operate in faith. They don't have enough experience. You know, it's sort of like people, you go to business school today and nobody in the school's been in business. None of the professors ever were in business or like, and they're teaching. They can teach you principles of business, but they can't really teach you how it works because they don't know. They've never worked it. They can't sit and talk to you about how they work through problems and stuff. They never did it. They don't know how it's done. They can't teach you. That's why we have all the knuckleheads out here running around today with degrees hanging on their walls. And I mean, just think about this. In Washington, everybody down here got a college degree. Wow. Aren't we having just the most brilliant nation going on? I mean, you go to college, it'll just make you wonderful, won't it? It's like, come on, people. You come to this conclusion. God makes you smart. God gives wisdom. And that's what you want in life is wisdom. Information may not do you any good if you don't have the wisdom to apply to make it work. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's wisdom. And that's what you, God is the giver of wisdom. He's the scripture, you know, James said, if you lack it, ask God. He gives it to it liberally. You don't have to pay somebody to get it. Hallelujah. You can have wisdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But what we need to do is when somebody lays hands, we need to begin to thank God. Get over into things where you begin to thank God. Hallelujah. And praise God that you received it. That's one of the things you want to get across to people. Because most people, when you pray for them, they go into disappointment. Because if there's not an instantaneous manifestation, they're disappointed. And that there just, you just flip the switch of faith and it's gone. There it is. You ain't got nothing now. The switch of faith was turned because now you're not standing in faith. You're standing there looking at your body. I learned I don't look at my body. And as I said, if somebody would pray for me, I mean, before anybody ever would lay hands on me, the first thing that I say, you know, like Randy Greer ministered to us down there, this past time down there, laid hands on me. Before he ever comes to me, lay hands on me, I say this to the Lord. When he lays hands on me, the power that he's ministering is going to go into me and minister to me what he said. That's what's going to happen. That's going to happen. You know what he laid hands on me? You know what I felt? Not a thing. I didn't feel nothing. I felt nothing. Didn't feel a thing. So you know what I did? I thank God that I got it. I thank God that it was ministered to me. Use your mouth. Christians are too silent except when they're not in church. Then they talk all the time and can say anything, do anything in front of people. But in church, we get real religious and quiet and everything else and would never say words of faith because we think somebody would think we're weird. It is, people are silent. How often do you hear somebody at prayer line saying much anything? Do you hear them? Never. No matter how much I teach it. I lay hands on people and everything. Praise God, I got it. That's exciting. No, everybody's silent. Walk away in their silence. See, we need to know the power of our voice. Confession is made unto salvation, not believing. Confession. Jesus said, he could be wrong, you know, maybe we've been right and he's been wrong. But he said, you're going to have what you say. You know, I wonder if he's right about that. I'll have to ask him sometime. I'm going to ask Jesus. See if he knows what he's talking about. We're going to have what we say. So learn to say. Learn to say. Learn to talk about what you have. Because one of the things is, this next Sunday we won't get into, but probably the following Sunday, we're going to talk about the warfare. And warfare you fight. And there's one thing is you need to understand. If you're a silent person and you have, don't use your voice, you're going to lose a lot. And you're just going to, things ain't going to work for you. You have to learn, understand is what Satan wants your voice. That's why, you know, do you ever notice, like I said, people get around with each other in a casual situation and they'll talk and laugh and do it all around each other. And all of a sudden it comes to church and Christianity, everything gets quiet and people, everybody's cautious about, what am I going to say? I ain't going to say anything. I'm just trying to... You know what? That's the devil in operation. That's what happens. He wants to keep us silent. He wants you silent. Because why? He wins the war. He's never silent. He is never silent. And so, hallelujah, I learned, you know, some people think that, hey, man, I'm talking to myself. Man, I got to talk to myself because there's voices talking. There's thoughts coming. Bible talks about taking every thought in captivity. You know how you do that? You just don't walk around, I'm going to think happy thoughts. I'm going to think happy thoughts. You start speaking what the Word says. You got to get it enough on your voice that you can hear it with your ears because you're hearing the negative that's being said. You're hearing it. You got to get where you're hearing by your mouth. Faith comes by hearing. You need to encourage your own faith by what you say. You have to do that. And I learned that a long time ago. So I learned, they say, you know, you're crazy if you talk to yourself. I'm going to tell you what, I'm the craziest guy in the room. But I tell you what, I know how to get healed. I know how to do that. Hallelujah. I talk to myself. I don't quote the Word for God's benefit. He already knows it. He's the guy that gave it. The reason we do, we don't confess for God's benefit. We confess for our benefit. It's for us. It's to encourage us. It's to keep our minds straight. It's to keep ourselves focused in a direction. Because your body's yelling at you, and everybody here knows, your body gets loud, don't it? You having problems going on, and you got pain going on, man, your body gets noisy, don't it? I'll tell you what, and it don't care what else is going on, it gets noisy. And you gotta be able to keep your thoughts straight. And one of those things is I talk to myself. I do that. I talk to myself. I talk to my body. And you learn to talk to your body, you know. That is an important thing. Because your body's going to want to do whatever, you know. Your body wants to just lay down and quit. Your body just wants to. You got to learn to talk to your body. You got to talk about it. I say, by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead's in me. Hallelujah. That's what's going on. That's what's making this thing work. Hallelujah. Because see, I got something inside. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. Hallelujah. And, you know, many times I've talked like that, and I'll tell you what, my body was sure making it seem like that ain't what's happening. But you've got to keep yourself focused, because if you get over and start focusing on the body side, it is easy just to fall over to it and say, whatever. You know, it's easy to go there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we ain't going there. But we must, you know, one of the things that we have to do is continue to use the truth. You continue to use the truth. Our fight is by using the truth against those things that come against us. Continue to use the truth of the Word of God. Now, we're going to just look in, the end here is talking about believing that you receive when you pray, because that's really the final. Everything points at that. Everything is pointing at that. Is getting people to that point, really, Mark 11:24, where it says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them, and you will have them. You know, have you ever heard people say about, you know, God isn't interested in having things, we don't pray for things. Do you ever hear people say that? Gee, well, there what the Bible says, whatever thing. Gee, and Jesus said that scoundrel. Was he trying to mislead us? No, we've been, you know, I'm just convinced of the fact, I've learned this over the years. I think God is so good that it's hard for the Christians to handle. Amen. I think it's hard for people, because people have religious ideas. Well, you know, because man doesn't forget what he was or used to be and doesn't walk in the knowledge of who he is. You know, I'll never forget my dad was a bit. I remember talking to my dad, who was at that time he was in his early 70s, and he was talking about certain things about health. And my dad had really in his whole life. I think my dad had it wasn't until like he was 83 or something like that. He was in hospital the first time he was ever in a hospital, and but he had different things concerning his health, but I mean, it wasn't major things, but he made this statement. He said, you know, well, you know, he said, when I was a sinner, he said, I was a drunk, and I didn't take care of my body and blah, 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 and all that. And, so see, he even though he knew he was born again, but see, he took his past life and he drugged that dead body. That guy who no longer, that drunk no longer existed. That drunk died, and he was a new creation now. That guy's dead. But he drugged that dead guy the whole time along with him to the point, I can't get my body healed because of that dead guy, what he did. That's what people do all the time. They take from their past, they take the problems of the past, the mistakes of the past, the things of the past, they drag it along up into them, and they don't, it isn't about who they are now. You know, most Christians, the whole thing, we talk salvation, people think forgiveness of sin. That's it. Babe, forget salvation, forgiveness of sin. That's why I got my sins forgiven. And they think from that, well, you got a lot more than your sins forgiven. I mean, that's about this much of salvation. It's about that. Sin, forgiveness of sin. The new birth's about this big. But see, we focus there on that. Then you got the new birth. Now you were born again. You became a new creation. It's getting that into your mind, into your thinking. And you get that into your thinking, and this is what you have to have, that where you come up to the things. If you're going to pray like Jesus said, if we pray and believe we receive, you're going to have to think about yourself on who you really are and what you really are. And that's why we get people focused. We want to get people God-focused. And most people are problem-focused. They're thinks of the past or whatever is going on. People will have messed up in the past, ask God to forgive them. Even as Christians, they ask God to forgive them. But still, they'll carry that with them. And they'll say, well, you know, I know God forgave me, but see, I did messed up like this, so now I, you know, this probably won't work as well because... See, they just drag it right along with them. They don't believe they're really forgiven, that God forgot about it. Here they are carrying it with them, and God don't even remember it ever happened. But they're carrying it with them because they don't want to let it out of their memory. And see, we have to learn to do that. Because to be effective, especially in the areas of believe you receive, and he said, then you will have them, or you're going to have. So you believe or receive, then you have. So believe you receive comes before having. Believe and receive. You believe or receive the power of God, then you'll have. But you got to get the power first. You have to operate in faith to believe you receive. You have to have that. So you come to that place. One of the things is, you know, the prayer that, prayer in the book of Ephesians, which is in the third chapter, which prays that God would strengthen you with might by your spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you'd be rooted and grounded in love and be able to comprehend with all the saints what's the height and length and depth and breadth of the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, for this purpose, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Then it says, now unto him who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what I imagine or think. I often thought about this. Most people can't even believe what they can think. But he said, God wants to do above what you can imagine or think. Think about this. God, he said, this is God. God wants you to be filled with his fullness. That's what he wants. And then, cause why? He wants to go over what you can believe. So as far as you can reach to in your faith, he wants to go beyond. But he says this, it's according to the power that's working in you. What's working in the inside of you? What you been putting in your spirit? What you been putting in the inner man? Have you been living by the inner man? Or by the problems of the outside? Or the what things? Whatever. See, it's on the inside. Whatever's in you, God will do exceedingly. Many people have more going on them in the inside than but they keep it suppressed through following the outside. Through the whatever's happened on the outside or whatever's going on. It's just like in our nation, one of the great problems that we face today is this so-called information age is the devil's age. He is he's the guy that's behind all this pouring out of information all the time. He's the one that wants you, all this stuff, hearing all these things. Why? Because it clouds everything. It keeps you from truth. You hear every bad thing. You know, it's just like one woman of faith years ago, she's passed on now and going to be with Christ, but anyhow, she was an intercessor. And I have listened to the thing as Dr. Wilford Wright, you know, was talking one of the things about her and said this, that, you know, she was a great person of prayer. I mean, God used her powerfully for years. But what happened to her was this. She was born again, and God was using her in power for prayer. But for 15 years, she's living with a man, her husband, who's an alcoholic and really a problem. And she's living with it. Well, one day, you know, she just goes before God, and she says, God, she said, how is it that I'm living with this man, this alcoholic? And she said, I intercede and I get people delivered. I get people said, how come I'm living with the guy's the alcoholic? And the Lord told her that it's not a problem to figure out. He said, what happens? He said, you're so close around him and around him. He said, you can't pray for him with the conviction and the love and the compassion. He said, because you have memories that are in you. You got to get rid of them. So you can pray for him. The Lord told him, said, you pray for people out here that you hardly know. And he said, they're 10 times worse than he is. And you pray for them and get them delivered because you don't see all their problems. You don't see all their... See, this is one of the things that people have a hard time with. This is one of the hard things. It's why we couldn't turn our nation around and that kind of stuff. Because all the news and stuff and all the hatred over people can't pray for Biden. Their political beliefs are so clouding them. They have no compassion when they pray for people who don't believe like they do or think like they do. You have to come to the point. See, this is why I don't listen to a lot of stuff about Biden. I don't listen. I got to pray for him. I got to pray with a passion and compassion. Just like I would pray for somebody that I really liked. See, people don't do that. This is the problem. This is the problem with the information age. Right here, sitting in this room, you know too much. You hear too much. And it affects your life spiritually, and you can't stand before God for other people because of what you know. We need to understand that. See, we're... You know, this one thing is about a person who's a true intercessor. They don't spend much time messing around with what's going on the outside. Because you can't. Because you can't let it interfere. You will have a really not a great prayer life. You're not going to see a lot of stuff. Because we're moved too much. We pray for what we like. We pray for the things that we do. But we don't understand that that's really a selfish prayer life. It's based on that. You know, like with her, she changed around and prayed and got that thing delivered. She got a change. She realized that what it was, she needed to change. She needed to change. She thought all the time that he was the problem. She had the power all the time to change that and hadn't done it. 15 years. He stayed like he was because she didn't change. You see, many times we do as Christians, we think, well, I ain't as bad as that guy. I'm as bad as John over here. I'll tell you, I'm pretty good, you know. So there's these bad people around and don't realize the change that we need to make so we can be effective. So, hallelujah. Praise God. That's why I said, God's been revealing stuff to me and I've been doing a lot of repenting. You've been doing a lot of repenting. You ain't been learning nothing. I'll tell you. I've sure been doing a lot of it. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. But you got to change. One of the best things, though, to help me was last year is I just started really cutting off listening to people and what they're saying about stuff and listening to the news about things and just cutting it off. Cutting off, going before God, because I want to be effective. I want to be effective to bring to pass what God wants to bring to pass. I want to be effective at that. And I don't, there's things about people I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear about them, what they're doing. Don't tell me. I want to be able to pray with them. I don't want to, because it clouds you. When you go, you can lose that conviction. You cannot pray fervently for somebody that you have some kind of hard feelings against or something like that. You're not going to pray for him. See, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It didn't say the prayer of a righteous man. That's what most preachers preach, the prayer of it's the fervent prayer. There's an idea of fervency. You can't. If you have something against someone, you'll never be fervent. If you have things that sort of hold back, you know. Say, well, I can really pray for Trump, but I sure can't pray for Biden. Well, then you need to get that fixed. Because number one, you're clouded about Trump. Oh, that there's bad because you start saying that to people. He was God, you know. He was the God of America. for a lot of the people, he was. Man, Jesus died when he left. America's done. If he ain't president, huh, what are we going to do? The people that were called to reign and rule never reigned and ruled, but we can. We can reign and rule. Hallelujah. So let's take our place, all right? Hallelujah. So we can do that. And so he said, whatever thing you ask when you pray, you believe you receive it, you'll have it. So knowing that God is willing to heal us, we know that God gives through the laying on of hands, and knowing he gives healing power. So this enables us to step into the realm of believing we receive. See, we couldn't, if we don't know those facts, you couldn't step into the arena. You have to know that God gives it. You can't step in the arena to believe something, you receive something that if you didn't know, God gave it. It's just like salvation. Salvation had to be given by Jesus before a person could ever receive Christ. You couldn't receive Christ if you didn't know God gave him. That'd be an impossibility. And so you're supposed to believe you receive. And so we do that. We receive Christ. And it's always that way. We can't ask by faith for anything that we don't know that God gave. If we don't know that God gave it, well, there's an impossibility. This is why many people say, well, I'm trusting God about this or that. If you ask them about it, they don't believe God gave it. They're trying to get it. And they call that faith. And it's not faith. And I learned this. Don't ever tell them they're not in faith, because they get mad at you right away. I'm trusting the Lord. You ask them for what? Well, I'm praying. You know, if it's His will, He'll do it. That's called trusting. That's called not knowing. That's what that's called. It's called not knowing. And see, we need information if we're going to act, especially on this scripture here, Mark 11:24. You have to believe God gave it. So these truths give us enough knowledge about God that we are able to continue to believe. We receive, and understand this, I use the word continue to believe. We receive until we are satisfied with that the fruit of that believing produces. It's a continuation of faith, and the Bible talks about a continual believing. You know, the Bible talks about the return of Jesus Christ and talks about people who continually believe. It don't talk about the guy who believed one time 40 years ago. It talks of the person, it talks about continuing. Faith must continue to the time of the manifestation. When I accepted Jesus Christ, my faith must continue till the day that He comes and takes me away. That faith must continue. I can't shut it off and expect this. But why? I can't see the fruit of that manifestation. That's why we continue in our faith. You continue to believe. See, it doesn't. You maintain faith. You keep your faith till your faith produces what you believed you received. That's what you do. You maintain that. So it's a continuation of faith. And there will always be the work in that continuation of faith also. What we must, one of the things we must do is remain in belief that we receive when we pray. Because every thought that questions whether we receive, you must start to respond to that immediately. Learn to do that. Sometimes, I have myself do this. We'll put up with doubts for a long time without responding to them. Doubts keep coming. Doubt keeps coming. We're standing in position and doubts keep coming. And then what happens is doubts, you start running these thoughts then. Here you are, you think you're that you believe you received your healing, and the thoughts are going in your mind, maybe I better see the doctor again. Maybe this isn't working. Maybe, you know, you'll start, those thoughts will start running through your head. Now you've got your thoughts going with those other thoughts. Now they're double teaming you. And most of the time, and I found out, those things happen because when original thoughts came, we didn't respond to them. We didn't respond to those thoughts. So, and what do we do with responding to those thoughts? We'll begin to look at that. So, and really, failure to do that, really could be the result of you drifting away from your faith. It's easy to do that. But thoughts will come. You're not weird because thoughts come to you. You know, one of the things that Satan really deceives a lot of people on, and he gets them on this. He will bring a thought to you. He'll bring a thought to you. And then condemn you for the thought. That's right. He does that all the time. I learned that as a young Christian. He'd come around and give me a thought and tell me, if you were a good Christian, you wouldn't have thought like that. You wouldn't have thought that way. Thoughts will come. Now you can learn over time to control thoughts. There's one thing is when you get on and if you practice what the word says to control thought, Satan, you'll put up a wall to him. He'll turn around and he'll go away for a while, because like with Jesus, he tempted him in the wilderness. When he tempted him, said he left him for a time. You know, he tried to tempt him. When he saw it wasn't working, he left. Okay, we gotta think this over, do something else. You know, this one ain't working. Maybe we gotta, what other thought could we give him? You know, what other thought could we do? But you set yourself is to do that. You're going to have to stand against those thoughts. Because these thoughts, when wrong thoughts will come to you to question, and especially with most people, will immediately come and question, if there isn't a manifestation right away, will question whether you got anything. That's the first thing that will come to you. Did you get anything? Did you do it? Did it work? See, those thoughts will come. See, this is why at the prayer line, that's why it's so important. Before thoughts come, a person stops and opens their mouth and says, praise God, thank God I'm healed. Thank God I believe I received my healing. See, I'm saying what I believe. I believe I received. I didn't say I have my healing, my manifestation. I said I'm telling people what I believe. I believe I have it. I believe I got the healing power. I believe it went into me. Hallelujah. Say, well, did you feel it? No. I might have felt it. Maybe I did feel it. But see, feeling power going into you isn't even, that doesn't mean anything. I've seen people feel power to go into them, but nothing ever manifests, because when after they leave, then they let other thoughts come. Because you could feel power go into you and not see an instant manifestation. Doesn't have to instantly manifest. So that's why you can't get over. You got to be convinced of this. If you maintain your faith, you will have a manifestation. If you maintain your faith. And see, God is always going to move you in a position to maintain your faith. He'll always keep it. He wants you to maintain your faith. Hallelujah. That's what he's looking for. It's lots of things that I think is sometimes is God dealing in the areas of maintaining faith, because we didn't need to develop a strength in faith. And it's important for us to understand that. Because we will come against greater things. You know, it's just like, it's a whole lot different, say, fighting a headache than you're fighting cancer. You're not going to take headache faith and move cancer. That's like, you know, it's a whole lot different picking up 10 pounds and here's 500. You know, you have to develop faith over time and learn to do that. Whatever you're pushing, whatever you're trying to push. When I started, there were certain things that me and I learned that things that I could push, and there were some things I couldn't push, man. And I had to learn to develop my faith over time. And sometimes I would increase a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Like I remember, boy, one time if you'd asked me to believe for $100, I'd have thought, oh my God. See, I don't know if God could give people that much. I didn't have the faith to go that far. It's like, you know, today, and you look and you thousands of dollars and whatever you want. To me, it's like, well, I can believe that. I can believe that thing. That's no problem. I can do that. And so it's learning to do that. And on that side, you know, it's one of the things is learning to believe God for money. A lot of people work on that side. One big thing was this, is learning to give money. Learning to give by faith when it didn't look like you could do it. Now we're getting into faith. Not standing around waiting for some more money to come in. But when you don't have a whole lot and you start believing, I'm going to give a chunk. I'm not going to give a little bit. I'm going to give a chunk. Now you step into arena, place of faith. That'll get more difficult to do. And that's one of the things as I learned, because they always would teach on the side of receiving money. Well, what about on the side of learning how to give it? And that's where... That's one of the things I was glad, because I believe I was led by the Lord over to that area of learning to be able to get, because it led me to a real place of freedom. I'm never afraid that I won't have enough. I'm not afraid of that. I'm not afraid of not having enough. And that's where you want to come to. Lots of times people are believing for money because they're afraid they're not going to have enough in the future, and they just keep trying to get money, and we don't realize we're killing our faith doing that. Killing our faith doing that. See, I want the thing to know that, I believe today, it's like with me, no fear in giving. Hallelujah. We give. Hallelujah. God's gonna take care of us. You want to live in that place of that freedom. Because you know what? Because then it's easy to believe God to bring money in and send it out. Either way, it don't matter. It works. Hallelujah. You want to live in that freedom. Glory to God. And that's why we teach people things like this, teaching them about faith. Hallelujah. So we need to go over. So those questions will come to you. Things are going to come to you, and right after you pray. So the whole point of those thoughts or the purpose of them is to move you from your faith. The thing that you need to learn to do immediately is to vocalize, start to vocalize with your mouth. Vocalize against those thoughts. Vocalize. Start to say what the Bible says. Start to say what the Word says. Faith comes by, God's faith comes by hearing God's words. Faith comes. You're going to have to start speaking. Speak. Why? Because the Word of God is truth, and Jesus said His words were spirit and they were life. So you want to speak those words. Well, that's why it's so important. I learned from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin, when I listened to him and his teachings, like in years ago in ministry, when he would minister to people, like in churches, when they weren't large groups, so where he could spend more time just talking to a person and ask him. He used to go and minister, and he would always go to people and ask them, what scriptures are you standing on? And he said, inevitably, most Christians didn't have a specific scripture. They would stand there and mumble and stutter around and to try to come up, try and sit there thinking of a scripture. So he asked him, what are you standing on? In other words, they're coming by faith. He's going to lay hands on them. What are you standing on? Well, see, what they expect is the guy who's ministering to be standing on something. That's the guy that ought to do something about this. You're the minister. What are you asking me all these questions for? What's wrong with you people? Oh. But you need to respond. And I want to, you know, especially when thoughts come against you. Kenneth Hagin used to always do the things that I learned again from him. He wasn't always just quick to pray about something. He would sit and look over the scriptures before he would pray about things. He wouldn't just run off and do it. You know, make sure you're ready to release your faith. You don't have to please other people around you and things. What is the point? You know, I've seen people do this over the years. They go every time to get prayed for something, and they come to the point when they ain't going to ever get nothing. Because they pushed themselves into unbelief. They have just gone through a routine where it led them. They never had stopped and sat down and got themselves in a position to know, you know, I'm ready to get my hands laid on me. I'm ready now. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to receive when hands are... They don't. They just keep going and they're trying to get something. They're trying to get... And every time they go back, they go further and further into unbelief on this thing. After a while, it's just a routine they go through. Well, we don't want that. You don't want that. I mean, so take the time. I can understand some sinner does, you know, that, and maybe a baby Christian. But people have to come to a point is realize when we pray, it's just like praying for something. There's certain things that I get desires that I go for months that I don't pray about, but yet I'm going to head in that direction. But you know what? I realize there's certain things I need to know, and there's certain things I need to be ready when I step in that arena to pray about that. I'll sit and talk to God about things. I want to know things sometimes beforehand. Sometimes I can tell in my spirit there's something missing in this. And when I step in the arena to pray that, I'm going to step there. This is about a fight. This is, you know, you step into prayer, it isn't just like little pat cute things and, you know, it's all wonderful and good and cute. It's not. You know, you start a good fight when you start praying and moving against the devil. I mean, and you step in and say, I want to know my ground. Why? Because the Bible told us we put on the whole armor of God that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. And then it says, if you read on the chapter, in 6th chapter of Ephesians, it says, when you've done everything, now when you've done what you were supposed to, now stand. Right there is what most people can't do. They do all their praying and all that stuff and fall over. They haven't been able to stand. Number one, they weren't ready for the fight. They never had the armor on. The armor time is what you, the armor is what makes you stand. The armor that you have. And if you look at what the armor is, it isn't about helmets and all that stuff. It's the Word of God in your mind, the Word of God in your heart, the Word of God in your feet. In other words, in what your mind, your renewed mind, what's going on in your heart. The shield of faith, it's what you're saying. Your feet, it's about your walk in life. So if people need to know, you ain't walking right. Your praying might be in vain. But the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And he said, when you've done everything, you can stand. The devil can't move you. He said, your faith will stop every fiery dart of the devil. Every one of them. No matter what he throws or he says or he does, he won't be moved. So see, we're guaranteed a win in a fight. He didn't say the fight would be 2 minutes, but you're guaranteed that you can go out and stand. See, your faith will keep you. Your faith will hold you there. But just see, make sure your mind's ready with the Word of God, hallelujah, that you have on the helmet of salvation. Have that thing on. Salvation don't mean just born again. Hallelujah. You're delivered. You're set free. The devil can't own you. You get yourself convinced when you step in the arena, you're the winner. You know, the good fight of faith. And it's a good fight because faith is always, if you're in faith, it's always a good fight. You're always going to win. That's it. It wouldn't be a good fight. Say, you have a good fight, you lose. Say, man, that was a great fight. I lost. The other guy took a championship and I lost. What a great fight that was. That's what we teach the kids today. Well, I don't understand why everybody didn't get a trophy. I just give them all a trophy. The devil will give you all a trophy too. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you set yourself though to begin to quote scriptures. You know, I have a thing here. One guy said about, you know, is making quotations concerning this thing. He said, you know, you have to have a proper response for such a question, because when it comes against you, whether you got anything or whether anything happened or, you know, you still feel as bad as you did, you have to stand on the principles we gave from the scriptural standpoint. You know, you have to stop, you know, and say, you know, the Father's our Father, He gives liberally. He's a giver and He gives liberally. That's what He does. He's a giver. You know, that's what it says in James 1:5. So, but He gives, from Romans 8:32 says He gives freely. And He gives richly. It tells us in 1 Timothy 6:17. Now, you know, and so we need to use scriptures to go and quote scriptures, go along. That's why it's going along down through this thing. You know, it would be smart to sit down and write things out. So when you face something, this is what we're going to say. You know, take whatever direction you're standing in and whatever scriptures. That's why when Kenneth Hagin would ask people what scripture standing on. See, they haven't. Well, if they believe they receive something, it won't do them any good. The devil's going to immediately get them over in the areas and say something to them. And they're going, yeah, well, I guess nothing's happening here, you know, and that stuff. Well, they have no scripture. They have no basis, anything to stand on. See, you have to have something that you can voice and stop. It has to be scriptural. Because I want to tell you, the devil will come up against your scripture if you just, you know, have a nice little, you know, your little chat thing that you get. But you're giving what the Word of God says. And we'll look at it the next time, because with Jesus and His temptation, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came against with the Word of God. That's what He used. That's what was see, that was the armor. That's His armor. His armor was the Word of God. That's how He could stand. The devil came and said something. And if Jesus operated in that manner, we're going to have to do the same thing. He operated as a man in the earth. You're going to have to do the same thing. So know what the Bible says. Know what Scripture said. Have Scripture. This is what I'm standing on. You don't need 400 Scriptures. But you know, on your stand, you should have some Scripture that you're solid about. This is it. I know this belongs to me. This is what the Bible says. You know, it's really a powerful thing. Get sold on a scripture that you know where you stand, because there's always going to be opposition. Always. That's life. It's opposition. It's coming. You know, I've seen many times, you know, you can turn around and after you pray, believe you receive, and it almost seems it's getting worse. Have you ever been there? Well, you ain't lived till you've seen it happen. I'll tell you. And it got worse. And it didn't look like it was working. And this is not just for healing. This is any kind of praying. This is one thing. If you're going to pray for our nation today, you can't be moved by what you see. You've got to know where you're standing at. Say, God, I'm praying. I'm believing You're working. And you know what? If I went by look like, it looked like You ain't doing a thing. It don't look like nothing's happening. But you have to know where you're standing. You got to know where you're standing, what the Word says. See, God would never tell me to pray for the leaders if it wasn't going to do any good. He would never do that. He said, if I pray for those people, He said, I'll live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. I'm going to tell you what, devil says anything to me about it, I'm going to pray for Biden, because I tell you, I want to live in a peaceful life. You ain't going to be living no peaceful life fighting it all the time. These people are fighting everything. Has that worked? Aren't you tired of the fighting? Well, see, the church needs to get out of that fight. We've been fighting the wrong fights. Hallelujah. Instead of fighting the good fight of faith, we've been fighting people, things, political battles and all this kind of stuff going on. And we need to come over the place because I don't know about you. This day and age, you got to live a quiet, peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Man, we need a breather, don't we? We need a breather. I sure do. Hallelujah. Well, all the things going on, God doesn't want us worried or be afraid about the things that are happening. Hallelujah. He has a good plan for us, and He'll continue to do good. Hallelujah. All we need to do is follow what the Word says. You know, it was one of the things that I say to myself every day, my prayers are working. I'm praying for this nation. My prayers are working. I don't care. They can tell me any kind of report they want. My prayers are working. My prayers are working. Hallelujah. I'm doing what the Bible says. I'm following what Scripture says to do, and my prayers work. Hallelujah. Because see, but if you look at the news, it don't look like that. They're just keep fighting more and fighting more. But I'm going to tell you what. This thing ain't over, folks. Hallelujah. This thing ain't near over. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, one explosion of God just seen this thing in an instant. See, we got to come to that thing. We've lost the belief of miracles. We don't believe in miracles anymore. We say doctors do miracles. Well, how many, you know, that's the people. Well, boy, they're just doing miracles. I'll tell you, they're doing. If that's the best we're going to get, you just need more insurance because every time they do a miracle, it costs us so much money, we almost have to die to pay it. Amen, brothers. Good preaching. Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, our God, these last days are going to be miraculous. I think that's one of the great things that's going to stun people. And it's going to stun the church as much as it will the world. Because we've lost the faith of a miraculous God. Hallelujah. We expect the normal. You know, we expect, and we got it. We got normal. Hallelujah. Well, God has better for us. Hallelujah. And He'll have mercy on our stupidity too. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank You because You are so kind and merciful. Hallelujah. You're a God of great compassion. Hallelujah. It says You're full of compassion. The Bible says You're full of mercy. Hallelujah. The Bible says You're long-suffering, and we surely know that is true. Hallelujah. You put up with us for a long time. Hallelujah. And You still like us, and I want to thank You for that. Hallelujah. Your love, mercy, and kindness is great toward us in Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank You, Lord God, to be so patient to teach us, to give us instruction, and especially in these days, Lord God, Lord, in Your great working to turn things around. Hallelujah. Lord God, it almost seems to many that things have gotten so far out that how could they turn around? But Lord God, Lord, we're setting ourselves in a direction. You're the God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And if anyone had the ability to turn this thing around, surely it would be You. And Lord God, we're setting our face towards You today. Lord God, the Bible tells us we're in a race. And this race that we're in, we're looking unto Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. Lord God, we're heading to the finish line to Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. Hallelujah. And Jesus, if You and Dad can't make His things work, man, we're all just finished. But we know better than that. Hallelujah. Lord, just like we look at the miracles, the things that You turned around and turned for Israel, Lord God. Father, those things were done under a covenant that's not near as good as ours. Hallelujah. So I thank You for it, Father, that we look toward a future. Oh, Lord God, I have great hope. Lord God, I expect to see with my eyes miracles that'll blow our minds. Hallelujah. I expect to see our God demonstrate Himself in such a marvelous way to confound the wise. Hallelujah. Lord God, and Lord God, to show Your glory, the wisdom of heaven and manifestation in the earth. Hallelujah. Oh, that light shining upon men will change everything. And we thank You for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.